When Jesus speaks about following him, like Caden read in the Gospel of Matthew, three different times in the Matthew, he says, follow me. Follow me. Two simple words, follow me. When Jesus speaks about following him, what's that mean? Follow me.
On today's broadcast, we're hearing from Associate and Youth Minister Eric Halter. We'll get to the rest of Pastor Eric's message in just a moment, but before we do that, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast. Now, this broadcast is also available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store and can be found by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the podcast section of iTunes. Again, thanks for listening, and let's get back to Pastor Eric's message.
Now, I always mess with this, and Mike and I were talking earlier about the headset. You know, they always want to give me a headset to wear, and I've never worn a headset because, like most of us, if we lived through the 90s, you put a headset on, you think you should be one of those boy bands, and you should be doing dance moves up here, too. So we had a little discussion on it, too. He feels the same way. So I'm getting through without the headset for right now. That's something I guess I got to deal with. But let's give the praise team a round of applause. They do everything for the glory of God, and they put in a lot of practice time, and it's okay to acknowledge what they do for the glory of God. It's not for them individually, but it's to give them praise for helping us worship each Sunday. Now, my wife usually, she gives me some pointers sometimes and of what not to say and not to do, so I am not allowed to comment on a certain game that happened last night. But if you know me, I'm in a good mood this morning. But what's it like to be a Christian? You know, I ask my kids from time to time, not so much the youngest one, maybe the older ones, the kids in Sunday school, you know, I ask them time, what is a Christian? What's that mean to be a Christian? You know, you get various answers. Not necessarily wrong ones, but ones that are kind of maybe missed the mark. But what's it like to be a Christian? You know, as an adult, I often reflect on my own walk. What's it like to be a Christian? Am I following what a Christian should be? And as adults, I think we probably from time to time need to think and reflect on it as well. What is a Christian? Because sometimes I think when we get in the news and whether it's the news or sports, you know, somebody throws out Christian, it's just a loose term sometimes. They don't understand the seriousness of when they say they are a Christian and what a Christian is. And my wife will have debates sometimes where she'll say, well, that person's a Christian, and I'll be like, but are they? Are they really a Christian? We don't know their heart. And we can see what the outward appearance is and their outward actions, but what's it mean to be a Christian? And like I said, in my own self-reflection, I often have to go back and correct. When Jesus speaks about following him, like Caden read in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, he goes three different times in the Matthew, he says, follow me. Follow me. Two simple words, follow me. When Jesus speaks about following him, what's that mean? Follow me. What he's saying is, join my path, join my journey. It's the idea of walking with Jesus and being near to him. It's a highly relational and communicative relationship with Jesus. It's being in a relationship with him. Jesus was about being in relationships with people. That's what he wanted. That's what he created. There's a desire for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But with a clear understanding that he is the leader. He is setting the course. It's his path and his journey that we must follow. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Following Jesus, for one, is what being a Christian is all about. It's not a loose term. Following Jesus is the seriousness of being a Christian. It's the most basic command. It encompasses all others. If we follow, we love, we forgive, and we serve. If we follow Jesus, we love, we forgive, and we serve him. and we serve each other through Him. To be a Christian is to be united to Christ, to walk with Him, and to imitate Him. We would desire to imitate Jesus. If we boil down Christianity to its essence, it's about Jesus. Plain and simple, it's about Jesus. Nothing else. It's who we follow. If we boil down the Christian life to its essential element, it's all about following Jesus. Everything else flows out of following Jesus. Everything. Everything flows out of following Jesus. Do you want to simplify your Christian life? Follow Jesus. Do you want to live in God's will? Follow Jesus. Do you want the ultimate meaning and purpose? Now, we all desire to have that ultimate meaning and purpose, correct? How many times do we say, what's my purpose in life? How often do we say, what's my meaning in life? Why am I here? What do I do? What is my purpose? If we want that ultimate meaning and purpose, we follow Jesus. Our tendency is to want to live according to a list or by a set of rules. A list that we can check off each day, or rules that we follow. We all have them. Whether it's in our occupation, whether it's at our home, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in a church. We get so caught up in trying to follow a set of lists or a set of rules in the religion of Christianity, we miss it. Like Bill said, we miss it. We get so caught up in doing everything in a step order and following what we need to do each day in our daily life that we miss the relationship that we have right in front of us with Jesus Christ and what He desires from us. And when it's about the religion of Christianity, religion, rules, lists, order of stuff, whatever it may be, tasks, it becomes more about that than more about Christ and the relationship that He desires from us. More than the relationship and the communion and the discipleship that He desires from us, each and every one of us. See, we forget about that. And I'll be honest, there'll be a couple weeks go by and it'll hit me. The Holy Spirit will hit me that each day I haven't been intentional about following Jesus. Yeah, I've done this, this, and this. I've checked out each list that I've needed. I followed each role that I had to do. But each day I wasn't getting closer to Jesus. I wasn't being intentional in following Him and getting a relationship with Him each day. When we focus on doing those things, we focus on just doing those things rather than the thing of walking with Jesus. For example, let's consider our call to holiness. Holiness is good, even necessary. However, if holiness is understood through the lens of the religion of Christianity, it inevitably becomes more about doing good things and not doing bad things. Now, I can go today and not do bad things. I can. And tomorrow I can wake up and be intentional and say, I'm not going to do anything bad. That can be for anything. But doesn't mean I'm building a relationship with Jesus because I'm following a set of rules and I desire not to do bad things. I desire to do good things. But where does that come with my relationship with Jesus? If I follow Him, I follow Jesus, that's naturally going to occur. I won't need to have a set of rules that I follow or a set of lists that we need. It becomes a checklist of rules through which we determine if we and others live holy lives. That mindset brings self-righteousness and self-condemnation, and it leads to a spirit of judgment towards others. I can admit it, probably most of us can admit it, there's times that we, in our lives, in our daily tasks, because we think we have this holiness, it permits us or allows us to judge others and what they're doing. I've been there. I'll raise my hand. I'll be the first one to admit it. Whether it be traveling on the road and you know that person did something wrong, or it be in a relationship at home, or with a coworker, or even out in the public, you feel because you you have this set of rules that you follow, you are better. The Pharisees had these set of rules that they followed. And if you read in the Gospels and in the New Testament, the Pharisees and Jesus butted heads. The Pharisees had their rules, and Jesus came and said, no, that's not what it's about. And for good reason, Jesus didn't give them much grace. The Gospels show us that. The Gospels show us two ends of the spectrum. The rules that we follow because that's the way we always have. The laws that we followed. Or the relationship we have on the other end that Jesus shows up. Listen, this is what I want you to do. Follow me. Now we must not reject holiness, but rather role-centered religion. The right way for holiness and sanctification to flourish in our life is to follow Jesus simply. His way, His path. That grows our relationship with Him each day if we intentionally do that through prayer and the reading of the Scriptures and with fellowship with other believers. Those three things. If we get this right, the Christian life without religion, without the religious aspects, the Christian life as it's laid out to us in the New Testament will follow. So what's following Jesus? Following Jesus is about the cross. Following Jesus is more than just believing in Jesus. Now we have to believe in Jesus, obviously. Following Jesus means following the path of the cross. Matthew 10:38, he said, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He's asking us to pick up his cross and follow him. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He's continually asking, listen, follow me. Don't follow anything else. But you're going to have to pick up your cross. You're going to have to deny yourself. And when you deny yourself, you're denying yourself of the things of this world. You're denying yourself of the stuff that interferes with your relationship with Christ. Following Jesus is our own death sentence to die to ourselves in the way of this world. It's our own death sentence. When we pick up our cross and follow Christ, we live in Him. And we die to the things of this world. Now in this world, there are several primary sources of power, financial and intellectual. And for the most part, you know, Jesus didn't reference to much of these. He accomplished his work through the cross. Through the cross. And with that, we must do that also if we are willing to follow him. See, we can't follow him also without denying ourselves and picking up the cross. And if we don't want to live in the shadow of the cross, then do we truly want Christ? If we're not willing to live in the light of the cross, we cannot be Christ's disciple. The cross is the path of humility, weakness, selflessness, and suffering. Humility, weakness, selflessness, and suffering. Everything the world says you shouldn't have. But it's also the path that leads to resurrection, also the path that leads to life. Whoever follows Jesus, whoever takes up his cross and follows him, whoever does that will truly live. We will truly live in him. Following Jesus is about simply following him. It's so simple, and yet how quickly we forget. We get busy. We lose sight of the Savior and start to focus on other things. The business of our family life, the business of academic things, or the busyness of sports activities, the business of going to church sometimes. Let's think about it. Sometimes we get caught up. We just continually do that every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I'll raise my hand. I've been there. But that's not what Jesus wants. That's not what he desires. He wants us to live. Whoever follows Jesus, whoever takes up his cross and follows him, again, will truly live. Again, we cannot lose sight of that. We cannot lose Jesus in the busyness and the clamor of good things that we do. It doesn't take long if you open up the book of Genesis to find out why we live in the world that we do. Just a few chapters into Genesis, you find out why we have fallen. But when we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him, we have that life. Losing sight of what is of primary importance is what Jesus meant when He gently corrected Martha. This is all scripture we know. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Mary, unlike Martha, had positioned herself at the Savior's feet. She represents the wise disciple who understands that it is all about Jesus. She sat at the Savior's feet. How often do we take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus? How often do we get caught up in performing our task? Get caught up in doing everyday life, whatever it may be. And we don't sit at Jesus' feet. We don't sit at His feet. How often do we just simply wave at Jesus? Instead of having that personal relationship with Him. While following Jesus is simple, it's not necessarily easy. It's hard because the call is to follow. Again, it's to follow. So what's that mean? It means we're not in charge, right? It means Jesus is in charge. He calls the shots. Again, it's His path. And we follow Him. It can be hard both on the account of where He takes us as well or where He keeps us. Now He's following, or He's leading, we're following. We might not want to go there. It might be according to our plan, completely against it. He's leading us in a different direction. But if we truly follow Him, we must do it and do it with a whole heart. But He also will keep us in places. Places where we might not want to be at the time. And with that, it takes a lot not to jump ahead of what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Sometimes we want to get eager and we want to go ahead and we want to do our own plan and our own will. But sometimes it's just He wants us to remain where we're at. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't get to choose how we will glorify God. We don't get to choose how we will glorify God. When we follow Christ, it shows us how to glorify Him. If we try to do it by any other measure, it will not work. Now, following Jesus looks like will be different for every person. For each person in here, it's going to be different. Some might be like Peter, called to serve Jesus at home, in the neighborhood, at school, or in the job, wherever the Lord has placed us. You may be a light in your workplace. You might be a light, kids, you might be a light at your school. You can take that opportunity to be that light, especially in the world today that we live in. Some might be like Paul, called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. What is important is that we follow Jesus wherever He leads and wherever He calls, and be patient when He wants us to stay. According to God's word, following Jesus will be meaningful. It will be refreshing, but it will also be powerfully unimpressive to the world. But it will ultimately be glorious. The world's not going to care. Indeed, our suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is in ours in Christ Jesus. Our joy is in Him. As this year closes, we've all been through trials and tribulations, and it's hard to glorify Him in those trials and tribulations. But we praise Him through all the times that are good, and we praise Him through all the times that are hard, and that will always give glory to Him. As I close, there's this letter I found on the internet. It's from a technology company. And they wrote this to new employees. This company has no basis in as a Christian company. It's a secular company. And this letter, it begins, there's work, and then there's your life work. The kind of work that has your fingerprints all over it. The kind of work that you'd never compromise on. That you'd sacrifice a weekend for. You can do that kind of work at this company. People don't come to this company to play it safe. They come here to swim in the deep end. They want their work to add up to something. Something big. Something that couldn't happen anywhere else. Now, if a technology company, which has no basis in Christ, which will eventually fizzle and die as all things in this world do, can sincerely say above to their new employees, how much more can and does the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings do for you? Do we swim in the deep end for Jesus? Do we desire something big because we follow Him? Do we play it safe? How often do we play it safe? It's not easy. You know, Jesus Himself said it would not be easy. My wife and I were watching a movie a couple days ago. It's one, it's been out for a while. It's a Christian movie. And I was kind of paying attention to it half off and on. And there was a conversation between two people. One, this person was a man of God. He worked at a Christian school. He was raising his family in Christian beliefs. And the other one was laying in a hospital bed, not able to see. And the person laying in the hospital was asking him, "Hey, who are you? If I take your job away from you, who are you?" And he went down to the next thing. "Oh, I'm a husband." He's like, "God forbid something. Who are you?" "Oh, I'm a father." He goes, "Heaven forbid that if your kids..." He's like, "Well, I guess I'm a teacher." He goes, "Wait, lose your job." He's like, "Well, I guess I'm a Christian." Now see, it was about the fourth or fifth thing he said. And the guy asked him, "What's a Christian?" He goes, "I'm a follower of Christ." But see, the point in that is that should be what's at the beginning. Above all else. When we strip everything away, that should be what's left standing. But it should also be what's left standing at the beginning. We are followers of Him. And the one part at the end that caught me is this gentleman was ill. And the other gentleman said, "I will pray for you." The previous week when they saw each other, he says, "I will pray for you this coming week." So when they met again, this gentleman asked him, "So hey, you said you would pray for me last week. Did you pray for me?" And he sunk his head and he said, "No." We've all been there. It's easy. "Hey, I'll pray for you." And then you forget or you get busy. But when everything's stripped back and stripped away, the only thing that's left is Jesus. And that's, we're nothing without Him.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton, all one word, .com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.